is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
And I welcome the author, Patrick O'Donnell. His new book, The Indispensables, the diverse soldier mariners who shaped the country, formed the Navy, and rode Washington across the Delaware. It is April 1775, April 18th to 19th, the night of the Black Horse Tavern in Menotomy, Massachusetts. Menotomy is a word meaning swift water, Mystic River. It is now part of Arlington. In that inn, the Black Horse Tavern, are three prominent members of the Marblehead leadership, the Marbleheaders. That is what Patrick is focusing us on. He's telling the story of the early years of the Revolution, the Civil War, between the Marbleheaders and first the British overlords, and then the Marbleheaders versus the British Army, involved in, critical to, the success of Washington's Continental Army. But this night, these three men have been at the Black Horse Tavern through the day, meeting with other leaders of the revolutionary, nascent revolutionary thinking in Massachusetts. And they've gone to bed, unaware that very close by, in a place called Lexington, there are Minutemen gathering to confront the British light infantry marched out under Lieutenant Colonel Francis Smith to raid the stores, the ordnance stores at Lexington and Concord. The British come out for black powder and guns. These three men are asleep. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, they're awakened and told, the British are coming, the British are coming. They cannot flee. They think the British are coming to arrest them. They're wanted men. If it's revealed what they're up to, which is to provide black powder to the nascent revolutionaries, they run into a cornfield and spend the night there in the dark, in the cold, because the British are actually on the road. Patrick, congratulations. Wonderful. I'm lying in a cornfield with Messrs. Elbridge, Jerry, Azor Orne, and one other, leaderships of the Marbleheaders. Who are they to Marblehead? Why are they there then? And what is it that they make of what they see of the British come marching? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's great to be back on the show, and it's really an honor. I always relish and treasure our conversations. Well, we're in this cornfield because they are members of the Massachusetts Provincial Congress. They sit on the key committees of supply and safety, and it's the Marbleheaders that brought in the bulk of the powder that the British are trying to seize, as well as the arms and cannon. It's Marbleheaders that that had access to Spain, that where they brought in massive amount or a sizable amount of powder, black powder, which is the most crucial resource in the early days. It doesn't exist in the colonies. The British know that. They know that we have guns, but guns are useless without gunpowder, and they are actively trying to seize all of the gunpowder in New England and secured in other portions of the colonies as well. And that night, the British are on the march under Colonel Francis Smith. 700 men are going towards Lexington and Concord to seize these vital supplies that the Marbleheaders had, through their supply lines, brought in. And they see this massive column, a scarlet column of British soldiers that are marching towards Concord. And they also, some of the members of this column go into the tavern, and they feel that they're after them, and they then flee to the cornfield, and they're hiding for their lives.
Down the road nearby, the confrontation at Lexington has already taken place. However, there will be another battle the next day. It's not just the Minutemen, because the 700 British soldiers, the Redcoats, go on to Concord, where there's a battle there as well. But Patrick also tells the story of the Battle of Menotomy. It takes place on the 19th. In other words, they lay in the cornfield all night, they come back out again, but the British are marching back towards Boston, and come running are not just the Minutemen of the night before, but the Minutemen of Marblehead, including John Glover. That battle, Patrick, engaged by the Marbleheaders, who led it, who commanded it, and what was the result of that battle on the 19th?
this is basically, we're talking about the shot heard around the world at first at it, well, first at Lexington Green with John, with Parker and his men, and then at Concord Bridge. But then the British under Colonel Smith have a problem. They're far away from Boston, and they have to march through thousands of Minutemen and militia that have assembled to block their advance. This is called Battle Road because they literally are fighting for their lives from Concord back to Boston. And this small task force is now outgunned. And there are thousands of angry militiamen and Minutemen that are trying to block their advance, including the Marbleheaders that now, that, you know, they hear what's going on, and they come with their musket in hand, and they are trying to stop the British from getting back to Boston. And they're at Arlington, today's Arlington, or Monadnock, and they're battling. And there's a place called the Russell House, where one of the great engagements take place, and many patriots are slaughtered here. The blood is literally ankle deep in one of the rooms.
What is striking to me about the Battle of Monadnock, Patrick, as a reader, is that at Lexington, the engagement was one-sided. The British troops, light infantry, these are good troops, they charge with bayonets and slaughter a few. And at Concord, it's a meeting engagement, but really people are withdrawing all the time, trying to back away from the British firing line. And Monadnock, that's a stand. That means to attack, and the British lose a lot of casualties at Monadnock. The Marbleheaders at this point, do they realize they're now in completely, that there's no backing out, that they're now in revolution from London? Do they talk
some
about
of them,
it?
Some of them do, and some of them don't. I mean, you have another figure in the book that is bringing the Salem militia, for instance, and he kind of delays. That's what one of the theories are, that he could have actually cut off the British from entering Boston potentially. And, you know, they just don't know yet. But, I mean, people are starting to sense that they're probably all in because the crown is going to brand them all traitors. And another aspect of the book that's, I think, really important is the narrative. And the Americans may not have pioneered the term information warfare, but they understood it. And Elbridge Gerry, who's a main character in this book, after the battles of Lexington and Concord, is put in charge of gleaning or develop or the depositions that will be needed to build the American narrative. And they interview British soldiers. They interview the main patriots that are involved in the battle. And they get their oral histories or depositions, and they assemble them. And I think the most interesting story in the book, or one of them, is a forgotten voyage that nobody's really heard of or thought about, is that they find the fastest ship that they can get. Gage's ship leaves days earlier with their version of the story. But the Marbleheaders and Salemites find the fastest ship that they can find, and they deliver the narrative or these depositions, along with a paper from Salem. And it gets to England first, 2 weeks before Gage's story. And it's a sensation. I mean, this is earth-shattering news that changes the empire overnight.
Englishmen bayoneting Englishmen, yes.
And it's the crown that is the aggressor in the American narrative, and it's the crown that fired first. And that becomes all important.
This is about the Marbleheaders. So what about Marblehead? We're going there now, thanks to Patrick O'Donnell. The Indispensables is the book. The diverse soldier mariners who shaped the country, formed the Navy, and rode Washington across the Delaware. We've got a lot of water crossings ahead of us. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.